Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث النبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليشهدوا الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله والجمعة مبارك أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل كل يعمل على شاكله فربكم أعلم بما هو أهد السبيل. صدق الله العظيم. An expression of this is, everyone acts according to his own disposition, but your Lord knows best who it is that is guided on the way. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that every child is born according to the original nature, but it is his parents, and the word in the hadith is abaahu. It is his parents that convert him to Judaism or Christianity or Magianism, M-A-G-I-A-N, Magianism, like the Magi, Magianism. Just as an animal delivers a perfect baby animal, you don't find any mutilations on it. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sadaqa Allah al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. That first reading was from the 84th ayah of Surah Al-Isra team. Alhamdulillah, today we return to the subject that we stepped away from based on the fact that we were entering into the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, of which the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are the best of days, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And so we spent two khutbah, the first and the eighth of July, focused on the rewards of those first 10 days. And mashallah, we had up to that point of departure, we were focused on family. We were focused on family. And it is obviously a very expansive subject. It's a very expansive subject, to put it lightly. And I'll have to go ahead and admit that sometimes I feel apologetic about, okay, so does it go on? Yeah, it goes on. But I am not deliberately trying to extend the subject because I like it. I do. I love it. That it's a very strong suit for me, okay, for as far as family and all the rest of that. But I have resigned myself to, and I have to resign myself to, the fact that, listen, if we don't get family straight, you can just forget about it. You can just forget about it. It just doesn't matter. And so the core title for the is Our Families, Our Future. Our families are our future, literally. And so what we hope to see in the future is going to be a product of what we do in the present. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done, he says, I've completed your way of life for you, and I perfected my favor upon you, and I preferred for you al-Islam as the way of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with this freedom, as free as human beings can possibly be, as free as a creation can be, is as free as we are as human beings. And Allah holds that will, what we call free will. He holds that will so sacred that he will not do anything to intrude upon our will. He will only come into our choices by invitation. He'll only come in by invitation. Like, okay, you want me to help you? Okay, well, give me your will, all right? Give me your will, and then I will become your will. I will make the decisions for you in that. And really, really beautiful hadith, the number throws me off sometimes, hadith Qudusi, either 15 or 25, but they both have the same spirit. The one I'm thinking of course, is the one where Allah says, nothing that he loves more of his servant, but that he does what he's obligated to do. And then he goes beyond that to do the superobligatory in order that, such that I become the hearing with which he hears, the eyes with which he sees, the feet upon which he walks, the hand with which he strikes, and were he to ask me for anything, I will give it to him. So Allah is saying there is a coming together of my will and your will through that obedience, such that it's indistinguishable, my will and your will. But that's only by invitation and, of course, by obedience, because to do the supererogatory, now, to do the fard is to fulfill your obligations, and then to go beyond that is to assert our will to obey Allah in the deepest way. And let me go. We'll say this too. Allah is saying, "This is what I will do for them who do that," and it's in the doing that it happens. Right, you've heard me use the analogy, wax on, wax off. So what Allah is saying that he will do, he said, I will do this if you do that. All right? If you do this, I will do it. He said, if you do the obligatory, then you do the superobligatory. This is what I'm going to do. Right? And it's happening at the very time you decide and act in that way. It's happening, right? It's sort of like, yeah, I'm trying to do this so God can come and do. And it's happening at the moment you start doing it. At the moment you start doing the obligatory, and the moment you do the superobligatory, that's when the growth happens. This is where the other hadith, whichever the numbers it might be, but both of them, I'm still speaking of number 15, number 25 of Hadith Qudusi. That's what Allah says. He says, if you come to me walking, then I come to you at speed. right? So it's like I think of my when my servant thinks of me, I think of him. He mentions me in a group. I mention him in a better group, and then this reciprocation. I mean, the more he comes near to me, I come to him even faster than the means or the velocity with which he comes toward me. I'm coming to him even faster than he's coming to me. So likewise, again, going back to the supererogatory, so the obligatory and supererogatory, it's like even as you, once you decide to do it and as you continue to do it, the process has been invoked. It's happening. It's happening such that there will come a time which is the fulfillment of and the maturity of what is to be attained by that practice, then you will get that sense. And you get that experience, and you get that power, that sense of presence of Allah in that manner. But that's really like the fruit from the behavior that you have been executing, the obligatory, the supererogatory, et cetera. And then, pow, let's call it Big Bang. There's what you've been looking for. But it's always been coming. It's been coming towards you just as consistently as you maintain that behavior, and that is what, quote-unquote, let's call it, closes the gap between your will and Allah's will. So this perfect favor that Allah has done for us is such that it's like you give me your will, and what I promised by this way of life is going to be the result. It's going to be, I make you a promise. You do what I tell you to do, and this is what's going to happen. All right? So when you believe that, and when you sign up for that, and when you act on that, then that's how Allah's promises grow in your life. So he says, أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ, I have perfected for you your way of life. I have to stay with the big picture. It's like we live, we exist. We are in what, let's just call it, existence. Who created us and who created it? Allah. Allah created it, Allah created us, right? And the surah, Al-A'la, خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَقَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, I gave everything its form, I gave everything a place within the system, and I potentiated everything to grow from simple to complex. And I've given everything in existence, you and the universe, which you're all one in actuality, but you and the universe, I have given you all a role in my guidance, that is Allah, in the guidance of Allah. Right. Growth is, what God says by the soul in the proportional order given to it, and its enlightenment as to what would benefit, what would harm it, blessed is he that causes it to grow, right? The goal is, okay, here you and I, we exist. Existence is all around us. Existence is within us. We have this life, and we're moving in this space. We're moving from birth to death. That's where we're going. We're moving from birth to death. In between birth and death is this thing called life and existence. And this thing is not simple. It's not simple. The longer you've been around, the more you know that that's true. Oh, things seem to be simple when we were so young. Yeah, let's just go out and play basketball, baseball, and you know, dolls and whatever else. It's like, and it's good. No. When, as you grow up, you say, man, this thing is getting pretty serious. And then the older you get, children, family, husband, wife, wah, 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 complexity shows up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying, I know what you're faced with because I created it. I know what you're going to be facing, and you're going to need what I have to offer, but I'm not going to force it on you. You have to decide you want what I have created as a perfect favor for you, this thing called al-Islam. And I, wa raditu lakum al-Islam ad-Din. And I prefer for you al-Islam, but it's your choice, Allah. I prefer this for you, but it's your choice, right? So you should see that also literally as you do with your own children, You have to take the same attitude, I would say, in emulation of what Allah has done for all of humanity. Look, I prefer al-Islam for you, but it's your choice. I prefer it for you, but it's your choice. And that is what we're faced with. So in this thing called life, there's so many pitfalls, so many traps, so many difficulties, so many puzzles, so many dilemmas. And it's like, wow, what am I supposed to do? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, listen, Quran. He says, there's not a question that they can bring you for which we have not provided the answer and the best explanation. Do you understand that that's what al-Islam is? I really want any of you who might be kind of thinking, you know, well, I don't know, is Islam all I need? It's like, yeah, al-Islam is all that you need. But you do have to know it. You have to study it. And I'm teaching in this moment, and there's some more concrete instruction that I'm coming with. But I want us to really understand the context that you're living in, because I'm saying you need to, if you don't already do it, and if you already do it deep in it, you need to study al-Islam every day. It should not be a day that goes by without you picking up something of al-Islam. I don't care. Pick up a book, read one page. Read one page. If a page is hard, just read a paragraph. Set it down, go about the rest of your life. Read it. Study it. Because, my brother and sister, you're living, but you really need to know. We, if I say you, it's me too. You really need to know the foundation for the choices that you made. You need to know the foundation for why you do and or don't do what you do. Because if you don't know that, then you're not in charge of your life. You're not in charge of your life, right? Now, let's go ahead and get to, alhamdulillah, see a many, it's a blessing, many young children here today. So excellent, excellent. So this is going to be Juma quasi parenting instruction. Inshallah. Listen. All right, so we read the hadith. Pardon me? Yeah, we did read the hadith, but we read the verse of the Quran. قل قلوا يعملوا على شاكلة فربكم أعلموا بما هو أهد السبيل. صدق الله العظيم. Everyone acts according to the way that they've been socialized. Everyone acts according. That's the translation of what word? Arabic. The Arabic word shakila. Shakila. Very simple analogy to grip it. Shakila, you hear the word shackle. You hear the word shackle in that. And you know what shackles are. I know we know what shackles are. It holds you to a certain radius. It holds you to a certain limit, holds you to a certain boundary. You can't go outside of the extent of whatever that shackle is tied to. Okay, so it is with socialization. Socialization is a shackle. The way that you have been socialized has set the boundaries for your range of motion, your range of mind, things you will think, thoughts you will entertain, ideas you will or won't entertain. It's all because of the way that you've been socialized. That socialization process is why we all have the disposition. It says Shakila, translated as disposition. Disposition, the English word, disposition basically is the average state that you'll find an individual in. And when I say average in this case, I mean like 3 out of 5 times, right? If this person is a very optimistic type of individual, you see them 5 times during the week, 3 of those times they're going to be optimistic, right? Even if they were neutral or the other two, or even negative of the other two, the point is that on average, they're going to be optimistic. So we take them as having an optimistic disposition. And flip it, same way with pessimism. You know, a person who may be 3/5 pessimistic, well, basically that's their disposition. So everyone acts according to their shakila, and it manifests as a disposition. So that disposition has to do with your emotional state. your emotional state, your sentimental state. There's very a lot to it. But so that is the mechanical fact. That's the mechanical fact. The mechanical fact. How did you get there? We got there by way of our socialization. All right, memory devices, you know, five letters. EVEDA. Some of you have heard this many, many times, but you need to own it because it simplifies what I'm trying to say right now. E is environment, education, or experience. It's just E. Environment, education, or experience. It starts there. Starts with the education, starts with your environment, starts with your experience, right? V is values, viewpoint, and vocabulary. Values, viewpoint, and vocabulary, right? Where did you get your values from? Your environment, your education, your experience. Where did you get your viewpoints from? Your values, your experience, your education, your environment. Where did you get your vocabulary? I think I didn't say that word. Where did you get your vocabulary? From your education, from your experience, from your environment, all of that. So the E leads to the V. Your environment, experience, education gives you your values, your viewpoints, and your vocabulary. E, that is like Eve, E-V-E. E, that second E, is emotions. I'm going to say it slow, but mashallah, I invite everybody to, you need to tie into the Blog Talk Radio so that you can go back to the archives and re-listen and hear this again. And we do it on Saturday mornings also on Blog Talk Radio with opportunity for comments and questions and the like. But I'm going to go ahead and finish up this. So you have the E, I've explained that. The V, now here, emotions. 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 Emotions, how do you know what emotions are? Okay? Another memory device. Now you've got four letters. No, I think we're five again. A-D-O-P-S. Like adopts, right? People adopt children. Adopts, right? A-D-O-P-S. Affective. Affective meaning having to do with the heart and feelings, right? Disturbance. Why disturbance? Like right now, you're in a state that would be called homeostasis, homeostasis, tomatoes, tomatoes. You're at rest. You're at rest right now. But if you heard an explosion in the back room or whatever, or even outside, you're going to be startled. That's a disturbance, right? And that disturbance, it takes you off of homeostasis. Think in terms of a earthquake, whatever that thing is. You know, a little needle that, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it, but y'all seen it before. Earthquake. Who is it? Seismograph. Alhamdulillah, thank you. Yeah, it would have troubled me not to have it straight. But it's like, okay, it's going like this, or a lie detector, huh? Okay, it's going like this, and then... But then after it's over, then it goes back to that. So that's homeostasis, disturbance, back to homeostasis. Okay. So when we say affective disturbance, okay, somebody walks up, gives you an envelope, and you open up the envelope, and it's a bona fide cashier's check for $1 million in your name. That's a disturbance. That's a disturbance. You're going to be disturbed. You're going to have to collect yourself after going. Then you're going to have to regather yourself back to homeostasis if that's possible after that. But the point is, emotions are affective disturbance that originate that originate in the psychological situation. So just work with that. All this is for understanding emotions. Affective disturbance that originates in the psychological situation. I was Dave Chappelle had some kind of show. Y'all know Dave Chappelle, right? Dave Chappelle, he has some humor, And of course, Eddie Murphy has humor, Red Fox has humor, Moms Mabley have humor. You know, yeah, all the rest of it. You know, we come up. That's a part of our socialization, mashallah. It is what it is. Rudy Ray Moore, come on, don't act like you don't know. All that, we came up with that. Why is there stuff funny to some of us, right? It's funny because of our psychological situation. Now, people who don't have the same psychological situation, that ain't funny, that's vulgar, that's do. And there's the, we still see, it's that, yeah, that's vulgar. You know, but, you know, we'll hide it, not let nobody see us laughing at it. It's like, but it was funny, all right? Because, hey, if it's funny, you can't get around it because if you have been socialized in a certain way, then humor makes sense because it's in the pattern of your upbringing. Or otherwise it wouldn't be funny. Kevin Hart, whoever else, right? All right, so that's your psychological situation, okay? So emotions, right? Affective disturbance originating in psychological situation. So people who have been socialized alike, they have similar emotional responses. All right, that's that second E. The next one is that E also goes for expectation, right? You have certain expectations. If you have a certain viewpoint, you have a certain set of values, then you come into a certain kind of experience, and there are certain things that you expect. So your let's go back to the optimistic. The optimistic person is expecting something different than the pessimistic person, and vice versa, okay? So the point is that EVE, the E is emotions, expectations. There's another one, but I'm going to move on. So you have expectation. Now, there's the D, right? All those three things add up to the disposition. Your environment, your education, your experience, your values, your viewpoint, your vocabulary, your emotions, your expectations is what gives you your disposition. So your background is your background. My background is personally. Your personal background, my personal background, it is what it is. And so, therefore, my disposition is as it is because of my EVE. My EVE has delivered what you see on average from me. That's me. Everyone acts according to their shakila. That's my shakila. My shakila is my EVE. Your shakila is your EVE. And therefore, you have that particular disposition. That's where it came from. If you want to understand your disposition, go back and study those things. Study your life's experience. Study your environment. Study your education. Study your vocabulary. Study your viewpoint. Study your values. Study your emotional set. Study what disturbs you emotionally and in which way. Does it disturb you in a positive way? Does it disturb you in a negative way? And you want to ask yourself why. Try to get the answer. Then you can understand, this is why I am as I am. That's your disposition. Because that is what causes us to act the way we act. Everybody acts. God has said this. Everybody acts. Okay, but why do you behave that way? Why does she behave that way? Why does he behave that way? Because of their disposition. Well, why do they have that disposition? Because of their environment, their values, their emotions, cutting short. So you want to understand yourself, then you got to go back through that process and discover the truth about that for you, okay? Now, as it relates to children, so now we're speaking to the fact of the responsibility that goes with being a parent, that goes with being a parent. God says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسْعَالُنَا بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَيْنَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبٌ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. It's an old socialized creature. Yeah, you have not. We are a socialized creature. There's not one of us in here who hasn't been socialized. If you haven't been socialized, you wouldn't be behaving in the way you're behaving right now. Why? Because you've been socialized. Yeah, and that's what makes civilization possible. That's why Anas is also a terminology. It also means civilization. Oh, social creature, be regardful of your guardian evolver, your Rabb, the one who created in you a nature to evolve from simple to complex. Be regardful of Allah. Oh, he said he created himself. Yeah, too much. It said he created the Minnefsin Wahida, created Minha, his mate, and from the two of them scattered like seeds countless men and women. a jump to men and women. But before they were men and women, they're boys and girls. And in order to move from boy, girl to man, woman, there's a socialization process. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, hey, if you want the best socialization process, then use al-Islam as your model. Use al-Islam as your map. Because it's a map that matches the territory of the nature of that human being that is now your child. That human being is your child and has a certain pattern. I, as the Rabb, has set them to move through. And having delivered them to you as parent, you are now responsible to make sure that that process happens the way that I created it and intended for it to happen in order for them to get the best possibility out of their life. But it's your job now, tarbiyah, education, parenting. It's your job now to fulfill my will in them by doing what I have revealed to be done for them that matches their human nature. And the hadith says they are born right, but it's their parents, abahu, that translation, abahu. But when you understand abahu, it means their culture, their environment. Remember, starting at that first E, right? So understand the mechanics of why things have to be done the way that it's done. Where it says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. And let there arise out of you an ummah. What is the ummah? The ummah is the environment. This is what God is telling us. Allah is telling us, create your own environment. Don't think race, ethnicity. Think human. There's words in the Quran, istamar, istamar. It says Allah is the one who established you in the earth with everything necessary to realize it. And the term istamar, it has to do with architecture, engineering, making something humanly habitable, right? So the point is, create an environment that's suitable for the growth of original humanity. Create an environment, E-V-E-D-A. Create an environment that's conducive to the growth of original humanity. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ. Take it to mean that. Create an environment that's suitable for the growth of original humanity. Because once you get the environment, it becomes the womb that projects and, gives rise to the other things that follow, right? If you got a good environment, you're going to have a good viewpoint, good values, good vocabulary. If you have a good environment, good values, viewpoint, vocabulary, then you're going to have a good emotional state. And if you have a good emotional state, then you're going to have a good disposition. And if you have a good disposition, you're going to have good action. Watch this. Confucius said, oh, subhanAllah, Confucius said, all right? If there's righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there's beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there's harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. And when there's order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. So the idea is, if you get the righteousness in the heart first, then everything in domino effect follows after that, because we want world peace, right? Well, where does it start? Righteousness in the heart. And where does it start? Where does it start for us? We have to have it in our home life, that our young people absorb those sacred values. So the وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ doesn't just mean out there in the world, make sure Trump ain't the president, or make sure, no, that's out there, your home. And the Jews were told in the time of their big trouble, they said, and make your homes synagogues. Make your home, for us it means make your home masjid. Make your home masjid, right? And the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't let your homes become graveyards by not praying there. If you're not praying in your home, then your home is becoming a graveyard. And who are the bodies buried in it? The people in the house. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٌ then God is telling us, see, this is the wax on, wax off part of it. It's like, okay, yeah, ibadah, and God said it in the revelation of the Holy Quran, and so we take it all the way to some kind of angelic, heavenly, ephemeral space. No, it's practical as well. It's practical. You do that, and the result will be what Allah has promised as the best from the original nature. Because we're all, and the children especially, they are seeds. They need the right soil. They don't create that soil for themselves. We create the soil for them. So we have a responsibility inside of our homes, but now let us not fail to respect the fact that that African proverb, that it takes a whole village to raise a child, that's the truth. And we can continue to try to, well, I'm going to watch out for mine. Well, sooner or later, yours is going to be in touch with somebody else's, right? And so if you want to expand the sphere of environment that conduces to the growth of that fitr, the growth of that original nature, then families need to get with other families with that blueprint in mind. And so let's do this. Who are we doing it for? I'm doing it for yours. You're doing it for mine. We're doing it for each other. And that expands the network, that expands the womb, that expands the environment that has in its nature the projection of our values onto those raised in our environment. Then the EVEDA is more likely to become what we want it to be. But we cannot do it alone. It takes mutual cooperation with that blueprint in mind. So when the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said that it is their parents that make them otherwise, and now we know it also is saying, I'll point you a couple of verses, 5:104, 14:10, where the people who were rejecting the message from the Prophet were saying, we would rather follow the ways of our fathers. Abana, our fathers, right? Well, what is meant by that is we're going to stick with the blueprint that we were born into. That's what it's saying. And so this Abahu that is mentioned in the hadith is saying that it is the blueprint that they were raised under, that they were socialized in, that makes them other than what they were created as. Allah says, I delivered to them al-fitr. I delivered them to you upon the fitr. Now is your job to do the rest of the movement, contributing to their growth from simple to complex. So we have talked about we started with the Athar of Ali radiallahu anhu, where he talked about play with them for 7 years, teach them the adab for 7 years, and then be their friend for 7 years, and then after that let loose the rein. And so we've been following that. And so we talked about the imprinting phase, and just ever so briefly to mention there's the imprinting, modeling, and socializing phase. Imprinting, modeling, socializing. Three phases, right? Imprinting takes place between 0 and 7. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said that's the time where you should be playing with them. All right? When children want to play, it's good to play with them, especially with you as a parent. Oh, you play with them, have fun with them. Believe it or not, I know sometimes they don't feel like they'll get tired of it, but at some point, even if they don't get tired of playing, they get tired of playing with you, right? Let me go find somebody that's more fun than you. So, in any case, and alhamdulillah, when you have other children, woo, such a blessing. It's like, y'all go play with each other, right? So that's good. That's why we need to have more opportunities for our young people to play with each other. It's nutrition. It's psychic nutrition. The more they play, the more those chemicals, those neurochemicals flow through their body, and they are excited about it, and it stimulates them. Not only that, they're getting certain musculature, other kind of skill sets that are being there, and they're being socialized in that process. You know, so you're cheating. That's not fair. I had it first. Boo boo, mama. Y'all know that story, right? Help my brother. Oh, he good. Sometimes we watch the edge of the camera. Is he gonna make it? Is he gonna make it? Probably love. Y'all all right, aren't you? All right. I'm gonna go in a minute. My child loves it. It's got me too. So, okay. So let's move on. So imprinting. So the imprinting is from 0 to 7. Ali gave us the abstract, the key things for that. Yeah, you have to do all the other things, but you do them on a plate of play. You educate them on a plate of play. You teach them the beginnings of discipline on a plate of play. That's what it really, how it really works, right? Now, from this fifth, this design in the nation, please understand this, brother and sister. When Allah says that he created us al-fitr, he's saying there's a blueprint in every human being. There's a blueprint. Listen, you have a pinto bean, you have an apple, you have a pineapple seed, you have any kind of seed, it has an inherent pattern in it. Now, if you give it the right environment and you quote-unquote cultivate it in the right way, then in that way it will realize the innate pattern in it. You have to put apple seeds in the right environment, season, et cetera, and every other thing. Okay, so it is with human beings. Human beings have an environment that's right for them. Ali radiallahu anhu has given us an idea that, okay, one of the key things that at this age, 0 to 7, one of the key things that a human being needs is play. Okay? Do that. Now, also, now that, mashallah, since science, and we're going to go ahead and conclude this portion of the khutbah, I have to say something about modeling, so I'm going to beg your patience a little more. Brother and sister, children from 0 to 5, it actually goes up to 7. The difference between a child and an infant is the establishment of language. When I say establishment of language, meaning that they are capable of speech in the best, most formal way. Enfant, the French term, is meaning no speech. That's where infant comes from. As soon as speech as a skill set is established in the child, they're no longer infant. They are a child, okay? So in terms of 0 to 7, that's also a stage where the child is 0 to 5, more so than 7. Oh, after 5, it becomes more and more conscious. But from 0 to 5, we are basically unconscious creatures. But we hear them walking around asking for water, asking for juice, asking for this, I want to go outside, 0 to 5, right? So they seem very conscious to us, but they're not. From a human perspective, they're not conscious. They're in what is called the hypnagogic state. Why? Because Allah has designed it such that they don't have to learn everything like sitting in a classroom. They learn from the EVEDA, they learn from the environment, the informal environment. The children, they are hearing what's going on, they're seeing what's going on, and all the other senses are downloading from their environment. Now, they're not critiquing, they're not analyzing, they're not doing anything other than downloading. So what's going on in the household is actually on that wet clay that is that child from 0 to 5. It is making those very impressions on the child, beginning to set them up for a certain kind of disposition. So if it's loud, if it's angry, if it's violent, if it's peaceful, if it's sharing, if it's kind, undisciplined, if it's disciplined, the child is learning that not by instruction as much as by the informal circumstances. So what does it mean? that we should monitor our environment, especially when you have children of that age around. You should monitor it for the influences that you want or and don't want in that child's life, because it is something being, something that's coming in is being cast upon wet, soft clay. Language in Quran is different. And if we don't set up the environment that screens or that does the best that we can to ensure the best impressions, this is the imprinting phase, ensures the best impressions on our children, then 60% of personality is formed by the time they're 6 or 7 years old. And so you've missed 60% of the trip if you didn't do anything paying attention to that during that period of time, because I can't talk to them, I can't do whatever. The point is, no, the environment is speaking to them. And the environment is making lasting impressions on them. And if we don't monitor that environment and screen that environment and process that environment in such a way that the best possible impressions are coming upon them, then we've lost a major opportunity in that first phase. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر بسم الله. Alright, so we can move quickly to this. Alright, 8 to 14. I hope you've gotten some sense of it. 8 to 14, Ali رضي الله عنه, he said, teach them the adab. Teach them the adab. What is the adab? Adab is etiquette. Etiquette. This is between 8 and 14. All right? 8 and 14. Teach them the adab. Adab, basically, in the simple way of understanding, I mean, what is appropriate for the relationship? That's what's appropriate for the relationship. And that's with anything. Adab is, if you are an employee or you're an employer, then there's proper for that relationship. You're a husband and wife. There's something that's proper for that relationship. You're a father to a son, a father to a daughter, a mother to a son, mother to a daughter. There's a relationship, right? You're going to an event, then there's an expectation in your particular custom. You're expected to come in a certain way. It's like you show up at my wedding in your pajamas. Hold on, homie. You show up at my wedding in your pajamas? It's like bad adab, right? So adab is about relationships. So when Allah says in the Quran, وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْأَرْحَامِ, and be regardful of the relationship, it's not just husband, wife, male, female. It's all relationships. You have business relationships, you have political relationships, you have academic relationships, you have social relationships, fraternal relationships, etc. Yeah, it's a lot to know, because life is a lot. And if you don't get the knowledge of what's proper for this, that, then you're going to wind up failing in many of those areas and wondering why. So that's why it's best to know what is the proper relationship in all those categories that I just mentioned. And when you know that, you know the adab. Now, the Prophet and Ali, radiallahu anhu, who's identified as the first intellectual of al-Islam, is telling us, okay, look, this is what you do. Between the ages of 8 and 14, this is what you focus on. Just like with 0 to 7, you use play as the grounding for it. But 8 to 14, the nature is hungry for order. The nature is hungry for what's the right thing, what's the right way, what's proper. The nature, that might not seem like that to us, but we're dealing with nature. We're not dealing with the little girl, whatever her name is, little boy, whatever his name is, how he talks, how he acts, or whatever. Per se, we're thinking about, look, I'm speaking past your behavior, your thinking, your name, your age. I'm speaking to your nature. Your nature wants to know what the order is. I know when I tell you, boy, look, don't do that. Or do it this way and not that way. I know you might pump a little attitude that says, like, oh, yeah, God, man, I can't do nothing around here, whatever. The point is that I see that little attitude that came from that cartoon you watched the other day. That's okay. But I'm speaking to your nature. And I know your nature saying, thanks, Pop. That's what your nature saying. The other thing is saying something else. But your nature says, thanks, Pop. I didn't know. I need to understand that. Right? So that's what we have to learn how to do. Speak to the nature. Don't speak to the attitude. Don't talk about don't take that tone of voice to me, boy. I'll slap you in the next week. Like, okay. I don't think that's the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do it. But a lot of us have heard, I slapped the taser out your mouth. All that kind of thing, right? It's like, oh, it was all right for me. I'm all right. Really? I've been meaning to talk to you about that. No, that's okay. So the idea is to know what's needed at that time. Now, what is critical, and all I can do is just introduce the idea right now because we're going to have to close up. 90% of the prayer, remember 60% is in that 0 to 7. 90% is done by the time you're 10 years old. You're supposed to teach the adab in that phase. You miss that window, then you're going to have a potential uncivilized young person going forward, right? And that 10%, 90% of that personality is formed by the time you're 10 years old. Now, the hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm trying to get us to understand, and I'm saying you got to study. You have to study, but if I can help you in some direction toward of your study, then this is the critical thing to understand. The hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, teach them to pray when they are 7. And I'll give you the raw. وَيَدْرِبْهُمْ and beat them when they don't pray at 10. And separate them in their beds at that time. Okay, now set that aside. Let's take yadrib for application purposes to mean lay down the law. Let's just put it like that. We'll put it that way. Lay down the law. This is the rule. 7 to 10, right? It says, teach them to pray at 7. Why? Wax on, wax off. Teach them to pray at 7 because there's a time coming where they're going to need the developments that come from prayer to deal with that pre-adolescence and that adolescence. And if you haven't strengthened them spiritually and morally and ethically and in their belief of there being a power and a reality that they have to answer to for their ill deeds, and a help in their powerless circumstances, if they don't have recourse, if they don't have faith and belief that there's a power bigger than mom, bigger than dad, bigger than the president, bigger than the United States, if they don't have something working in them that there's another power to take recourse to, well, then therein lies a lot of the mental health problems that we have, et cetera, the sense of what should I do, what can I do, and then, of course, we go run into all the other things that are supposed to be substitutes, that they will take as substitutes for God, and those things will become their God, and they will be distracted and, mashallah, inshallah, potentially destroyed. So the point is, the Prophet said at 7, they're no longer infants. They're children. At that bridge, teach them to pray right there. Teach them to pray. So, I mean, if you've been doing that for 3 years, and then at 10, they don't do it, well, then you recognize there's a danger greater than them being mad at you for your not doing it. They're just going to be upset, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if you follow the other patterns before, then you're in a stronger position to be able to, quote, unquote, lay down the law. But now you will have had to. Have you been praying in the house? Have you been regular in your salat? Have they seen that you recognize that as something important and critical for life? Because if you haven't modeled that for them, this is the modeling phase. If you haven't modeled that for them along with the other windows missed, then it's pretty hard to tell them to do what I say and not what I do. This is reality, right? And so, to conclude, 90% of personality is formed by the time they're 10 years old. So when you get to that 10 years old and the Prophet says separate them in their beds at that time, he's telling us something. Sexuality is next. Sexuality is next. And you think you're having a battle when they want to play jacks or baseball or something like that. Wait till them hormones check in. It's going to be a serious battle. But if they have learned how to pray and if they have learned the adab, what's proper for relationships and what's not proper for relationships, then you'll have more support from inside of them because the scales, the scaffolding for that kind of instruction has been laid down. right? And it's at that time, and mashallah, perhaps next week this will be it. It's at that time we need to teach our young people about sexuality. Don't try to wait until 13. It's basically kind of too late. Snoop Dogg and I already took them to a seminar, you know what I'm saying? So by the time you and I decided to roll out the Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, you know, they rolled out. I'm sorry. It's too much of a joke there, but I got to stay serious, right? Let me get off of that. So the point is that it's serious, but you just have to put a little humor in it because many of us, we know how it is. It's not an easy run, and plus we have a whole world against what we're talking about, right? So, and then Siri is talking to me, and I wasn't talking to her, right? So let's conclude. Sexuality, that's what we're going to spend time with next week. So if you need to be forewarned, if you need to be forearmed, you know, just already be ready to come or not, because we're going to talk about that. And because the world is really working on messing us up in major ways around that, because that is a cornerstone for civilization and a major transfer point for fitra. It's a major transfer. So if they can mess us up at that juncture, then they don't have to worry about us for the rest of their lives, for the rest of our lives. And you're talking about generations lost. If you understand what I'm saying, I'm talking centuries lost in the failure to make the right connections at that point. So the Prophet has told us, start as early as 10 years old so that they will know what nature is and what's unnatural. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, له الملك له الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessing, guidance, and protection. Allah, we beg for the enlightenment that only you can give. Allah, bless us to better understand our own self, our own nature. Bless us to better understand this life that you have created. Allah, bless us to learn how to master ourselves and how to obey and bring your will into all categories of our lives. Allah, we don't know, and you know. Allah, without your guidance, we have no guidance. Allah, without your help, we have no help. Allah, our desire is to obey you fully. Our desire is to be what you created us to be. Our desire is to help in the way that you have created and ordered us to help. Allah, show us the ways to help. Allah, show us the ways to walk. Show us the ways to turn. Show us what we must do in order to accomplish the best in this life and for the best of the life that comes hereafter. Allah, we beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa alaikum as-salam. لا إله إلا الله سيدي محمد رسول الله استوى استقيم يحمكم الله وثابكم الله make our world straight and even leave no space between the shaitan and divided if our roads run straight our hearts won't agree. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم جهر ما يخفى ونيسرك ليسرى فذكر إن نفعت ذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فسلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبكى إن هذا لهدي سهف الأولى سهف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي الدين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. آمين. الحمد لله تقبل الله. Of course, you want to make sure that you go ahead. We just have a couple of announcements for me. Shukran. Alhamdulillah, Khadija Sabri, alhamdulillah, birthday today. The 11th. Aliyah Akbar, alhamdulillah, also. July 12th, her great day. Also, September 23rd, 24th, Friday to Saturday, it's a way forward, a new mind for a new people. The ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, that is speaking of the Ministry of Imam. It's not presented by the Ministry of Imam, but Imam. It's a historical perspective that's being sponsored by Study al-Islam at the American Islamic College in Chicago. It's been a minute. This will actually be my first outing after a couple of years. Mashallah, so we'll be there, and I hope that many of you can join us there too. It's going to be a very special event. You can access Study al-Islam, I believe it's .com, and you can see the group of individuals who are the presenters there, a very, very distinguished group of presenters, not all from the community of Imam Wahdati Muhammad, from communities other than Imam as well. We want to keep in our prayers Terry Tyson's brothers in the hospital, but Ansar Muhammad, Kamal Rashid, Khalila Muhammad, and Alhamdulillah, Sal Mikhail here today. So Alhamdulillah, good to see him up and about and present and some beautiful things. Also, what's coming for ANNAS is the Islamic Education for Children, and we're beginning the planning for our annual ANNAS graduation to be held early August, coming soon. And this is one of our most prized events that we're looking forward to honoring our community graduates. For details and information, I won't go through the details right now. You can contact Dr. Hanifa Peters, MSHSPeters at Gmail. Well, it says no later than 8 and it's not highlighted for me today, but I still say reach out to her if you feel you have a graduate that may meet the standards. And I believe these newsletters are back there for you can read those, so that you can read those details. I'm sorry, I'm not going to go through the details there. I do want to recommend to you Imam Darnell's new book about the national independent school system in America. It's much more, I say, than that, because it's covering that history that is unique to us, witnessed by someone who lived it, who from a child, like we see some of the youngest children here. He and Imam W.D. Muhammad grew up together, and he's basically survived, meaning that I believe Allah, I say this often, that Allah kept him here to be the witness to that history. So it's like you really need to have this in your library if you want to understand that history. So there are some very critical photos and some very critical historical situations that really go all the way back. I'm talking pre-Malcolm. All that, you need to get that information. Also, and a new a student that learned from the feet of Imam Wahdati Muhammad, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, we have his publication, The Foundations of Al-Islam, The Pillars of the Deen and Lights on As-Sirat al-Mustaqim. So inshallah, I recommend all of that to you, and I thank you for your patience. As-salamu alaykum. I'm looking blood test.